Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Sorry, I had to get a little rough with the mix desk here. The short was being short and had to go long again or whatever it is. So, had to, you know. Well, I mean, you've heard it before, the little whack. Whack to get the mic to behave itself. But anyway, there. All better now. It's a minute past the hour on this, the 8th day of June 2016. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. It is a lovely day here in the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Virginia stand. I'm told that the heat wave in Northern California is over for a few days. It's only 83 degrees today, so longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, being a third stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave. If it gets at all uncomfortable, he will run back to the cool air-conditioned comfort of Horn Chat Room Command. Good evening to Anatole, and good evening to Trey and Laborman, early arrivals in the chat room. Yes, indeed. Just a general notice, it is, well, you know, this is a listener-supported program. And the listener support ebbs and flows. Last night was an ebb night. Ebb! Sorry, that was me up on the phone pole. Last night was an ebb night. We needed to raise $200. We raised $50. But thank you very kindly to some of our subscribers. What would have been a $340 fundraising hole this evening is merely $300. So thank you very, very, very kindly. It is, we're being told that it is a terribly, 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 awfully, seriously, no, really, terribly historic day. Because without even having to have a convention to nominate her, Hillary Clinton became the nominee of the Democratic Party last night. Shh. Don't anybody mention it, but she still doesn't actually have enough pledged delegates to be the nominee. Damn it, she gave a speech, so shut the fuck up. I mean, she did the thing with her arms really wide open, you know. Hillary, her arms wide, Shaka when the walls fell, Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra, for God's sakes. There's our big old, there's one great big Star Trek, obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. There we go. There's the microphone. So I guess we're going to be doing that for the rest of the night. Yeah. Don't anybody say that she isn't the nominee until the convention meets and votes her to be the nominee, because that really makes the otherwise already thin-skinned Hilarians really pissy. Just don't do it. I mean, just moments ago, I was told over on Facebook to get on board. Now, how the hell do I get on board when I've been saying since this process began that I would vote for the woman if she was the nominee. How do I get on board? What do I have to like her too? Is that how far we've gone? That we're in catch 22 land now, and suddenly we're all Yossarian and we have to actually like Colonel Cathcart? Yeah. It's gonna be a long way till she loses in November. But see, people say, "Well, Bob, why are you voting? Why are you voting for him when your conscience tells you otherwise?" Well, my conscience tells me a lot about Donald Trump too. And in light of the fact that I live in a place that's going to steamroller Hillary Clinton for Donald Trump, I don't want to vote alongside them. I don't want to vote alongside the friends of coal, okay? I don't want to vote alongside the people who vote the way Don Blankenship tells them to vote, okay? Well, Trey in the chat room says she will not lose. I hope you're right. I'm not happy with that prediction. But I also couldn't help noticing when I checked in last night for a little bit, I couldn't help noticing that Mike Malloy was saying the same thing. She is going to lose in November because the numbers are against her. Her position in history is going to be the position in history of being the first woman ever to be nominated by a major political party for the presidency and lose. I didn't feel like Obama would lose to McCain. But I've got a sinking feeling in my gut that just will not go away. Yeah. Because, you know, when a political party nominates the most despised person they've nominated in the last 100 years, you really can't expect a lot of good to come of it. But anyway, I was told to get on board, and I've already said I'm going to vote for her. You're going to be hard-pressed to make me like her. Do you understand? The generation ahead of me fought in Vietnam. The generation ahead of me dropped the bombs on Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam at the orders or at the behest of or under the idea of Henry Kissinger. A war criminal as obvious as one can be a war criminal and not actually be wearing a uniform of the Wehrmacht or the Luftwaffe or the Waffen-SS. Henry Kissinger shit on my childhood. I was... Do the math. Not quite 10 months old when someone we know not whom splattered John Kennedy's brains all over his wife's pretty designer suit. And by the time I came into any sort of consciousness, my country was in a war against people who had never done anything to my country. And we have now nominated, that's what the for-profit media tell us. We've now nominated a woman who takes advice from a guy who was personally responsible for the death of north of 1 million innocent people in Southeast Asia, engineered a coup in Chile, et cetera, et cetera. And who, following his advice, did things like voting for a war against the people of Iraq, who also never did anything to us, and in which said war, a million innocent civilians again lost their lives, who laughs when she hears about a man being raped to death with his own sword, who looked the other way during a military coup that has resulted in hell itself yawning wide open in Honduras and gobbling up decent human beings by the mouthful. And I'm voting for her. I'm voting for her. It will be the most odious vote I have ever cast in my life. Because I've never voted for a Republican in my life, and this will be as close as I've ever gotten. The only saving grace to my vote in November will be the fact that, consistent with my previous statements, that while Burn Baby Burn might be a satisfying sort of short-term satisfying slogan, watching the people who burn in Burn Baby Burn will not be. And so with my vote, for what it's worth, I won't vote to burn up anybody's grannies. Or otherwise shit on America. Like the people who vote for Donald Trump will. That's what I got. So, you know, I'm already on board. It's just that I had to beat the living hell out of my conscience to go up the gangway. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Asa noting loud and clear on my Atari. Via the TuneIn app, Brother Bob. Thank you. Thank you, Asa. And, all of that notwithstanding, thank you, guys. A little bit of backup coming in the chat room. Labor man pointing out, Bob, me too also, and then I'll leave the booth and puke. Got to vote for her, says Steve from Georgia. Stan, got to vote for her too, Bob. Can't enable the thugs to load up the SCOTUS. At least I can say I tried. There we go. Yep. But, you know, we can at least turn away. We can turn away from the political filth for a little bit. Maybe, well, not really, no. But we can, I don't know, hold the Rubik's Cube up in a different angle and look at it in a different light. Because it's Wednesday. Yes, absolutely. And Wednesday here means something far more than just the middle of the week, hump day, downhill to Friday, any of that stuff. No. Wednesday means prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. Hallelujah, glory. Ha! Yes. And I tell you what, brethren and sister, and we was a little bit worried. We had a grease fire in the fellowship hall kitchen. Mm-hmm. I think one of the little old blue haired ladies was trying to do a deep fried Krispy Kreme for one of the deacons just to be nice, and it got out of hand. So Fellowship Hall kitchen is temporarily closed while we do a little bit of renovation and repair work. And consequently, prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship dinner was catered. Sister Carol Baker called out to BB's Lawnside Blues and Barbecue there in Kansas City, Missouri, and had them bring in the pulled pork. And the battered quarter fries, and several quarts of sauce, and some Kansas City style nachos, and some banana pudding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, little old blue-haired ladies cannot be left to their own devices on a Wednesday, so they whipped up some macaroni salad and some of that wonderful, wonderful carrot and raisin and pineapple salad and a couple of Jell-O salads and you get the idea. I think we wound up with the deacons being fuller this week than they ordinarily are. But my, weren't it tasty. And then, after the last little crumble of vanilla wafer was gone out of the banana pudding dish, after the last shred of carrot was gone, after there wasn't nothing but shiny aluminum left in the bottom of the pulled pork pans, and they were they could be heard merrily crunching on the burnt ends as they headed up the stairs where they went out of smoking with the sinners out in the parking lot. But, you know, it's not just barbecue Sister Carol has. It's she has permanent control of the prayer meeting Wednesday cattle prod. And that's usually what it takes, and today was no different, to get the deacons out of the parking lot, in through the vestibule, down past that 20-year-old bowl of butter mints, and down front where they can do their deaconing job, because they got all work to do. Because they got some plates to pass. Like I said, we got a $300 hole to fill in. And as noted, we won't be here. Well, y'all will be here, maybe. I won't be. On Friday, because I'm attending the West Virginia State Democratic Convention, where maybe we're going to take a run at putting a little D democracy in the big D Democratic Party of West Virginia. So, we really do need to fill in this whole kind of lickety-split-like. We need to raise at least $300 this evening. One at 300, two at 150, three at one, six at five, six at 50, rather, 60 at five, five at 60, et cetera. But that's just when the plate comes by, brethren and sisters, when the plate comes by, just hit that PayPal button in the bottom of the plate there in the middle of all that red velvet in that heavy, 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 heavy brass collection plate. Just hit it. And pass it to your neighbor and try not to hit him in the head, being how you're going to have your eyes closed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you will, please, will the deacons come forward and pick up their and pick up their plates? And now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, brethren and sistren, I will call the minister of music forward for our offertory hymn. Amen. And amen.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes. Because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say,
amen.
Amen. Let me hear you say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest. he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy notes and nosy notes and little lambsy divey. A kiddly divey too. Wouldn't you, wouldn't you? I love you. Welcome, brethren and sister, and welcome one and welcome all to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ha! Glory. Amen. Praise his holy name. Ha! Oh, hallelujah, brethren and sister, and I'm a-calling on you to get up off of your sanctified seat and onto your sanctified feet. And come on out of the road and down that, come on down that blood red aisle, ha, glory, and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense of flowing through you from the server on high. Ha, I am Archpope Uber Rabbi Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Sarcastic Shaman, Bob Kincaid. And it is, brethren and sister, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ha! Glory. Oh, brethren and sister, and I tell you what, I got a note here. I got a note here inside of the collection plate. In honor of Bernie's run for president, there is a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Darlene in Connecticut. A $100 challenge in honor of Bernie's run for president. Here on this Prayer Meeting Wednesday, brethren and sister, and I think that is a fine, fine sentiment. I do, indeed. And so, everything you kick in up to the first $100 gets doubled by Darlene. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you very, very kindly. So that'll knock out 200 of the 300 we need to raise if we just get the first 100 in. Thank you very much. Very much, Darlene. I'm sure folks will respond in kind. And double their money. So, brethren and sistren, on this historic day, and it is a historic day. Why? Why? Wait a minute. Time to hit the mixer again. Why? Because, well, this is apparently the day that the right-wing, evangelical, gundamentalist, amosexuals, the upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered followers of Christ, have finally discovered racism in America. How glory! The light has dawned upon them. Yes, indeed. Let's go over and check in with that proud son of Stanford University, Brian Fisher, explaining America's problem with racism. Hockey puck. Now, dang it. Oh. Wrong button, Bob.
Who is handling his Trump University case in San Diego.
Wait a minute.
Saying I'm not. This one has to do with the charge that Donald Trump is a racist. Now, Donald Trump has criticized the judge who is handling his Trump University case in San Diego, saying, I'm not going to get a fair shake from this guy. This judge is treating me horribly. And Donald Trump is saying, I think it's because he's of Mexican heritage. I'm going to build a wall between my country and the country his parents came from. Donald Trump knows he was born in America. He was born in Indiana, went to college, got his law degree in America. But Donald Trump suspects, and one of the reasons he suspects this is that this judge belonged to a lawyer organization that had the name La Raza in it. Now, it's a different La Raza than the La Raza activist group that we know about. It just uses the same name, but La Raza, what does it mean? It means the race. So this is a lawyer's organization that is focused on the race that they share together, their ethnic origin. So Donald Trump, I mean, he would have the same question. If you're a black plaintiff or defendant and you have a judge that belongs to the KKK or belonged to the KKK before he went on the bench, I mean, I think you would have some questions about how objective and fair he's going to be.
Not really. Happened just last week. Black man convicted of murder in Louisiana was sentenced to death in a courthouse that had the Confederate battle flag flying right in front of it, and two out of the four alleged liberals on the Supreme Court said, "Nah, fry the black guy. What do we care?" And that would be the two Obama appointees to the Supreme Court, Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor. So no, really, your argument's falling apart there, oh man of the sanctified helmet hair.
So I think that's the real issue. The issue is not whether Donald Trump is a racist. I've never seen any evidence of racism myself in Donald Trump. And
ditto, because Brian Fisher wouldn't actually recognize racism if he was eating Oreos at a Klan meeting.
People that know him and have known him for years likewise don't see any evidence of racism in Donald Trump. So I think the real question is not whether Donald Trump is a racist, but whether the judge who's handling his case is. And I think it's legitimate for Donald Trump to have questions about that. I'm not saying the judge is a racist either. I don't know enough to know. But I think there are legitimate questions about his ability to be impartial, objective, and neutral.
Yeah, preach the controversy there, Brian. Well, at least they figured out racism exists. And now they think it, well, guilt by association. Right. I actually don't know much in the way of anything about Judge Curiel. But, you know, until such time as every member of the federal judiciary can cite membership in a one or another of the tribal peoples who are the direct descendants of the people who ran this continent for about 15,000 years, you know, Brian Fisher needs to shut them up. But again, you know, just like the Minister of Music says, it's all tax-free. All right? Yeah. So, you see, that's how it works. The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is the one who's being subjected to racism. Yes. Yes. Hey, wow, thank you very kindly, Jack in Shreveport. Jack just knocked down half of Darlene's challenge in honor of the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very, very kindly. Steve just wrote in from brother Usher Steve just wrote in from New York. I want to punch Brian Fisher in the mouth. I understand that. His mother felt that way when he was born. Steve also notes, I got to tell you, after listening to the Angry Indian last night and seeing the results from yesterday's primaries, I find things truly hopeless. I can't tell if it's something I think or whether it's something I hope for, but I think this country's days really are numbered. I looked at Agnes earlier today. Hang on. Better. I looked at Agnes earlier today and I said, you know, honey, something wicked this way comes. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Trump is not going to win in November. Maybe most of America doesn't have misgivings about, or maybe they've suddenly lost their misgivings because of Trump, and Hillary Clinton is no longer the most, she's not the most despised candidate ever to be nominated by a party. That goes to Trump. He's more despised. But that means that we are in the unenviable position of a presidential election between two people who have unfavorability ratings north of 50%. And any time you're dealing with a situation like that, I think you've got cause to be a little bit, you know, worried. And so, yeah, they're not hopeless, Steve. Things aren't hopeless. It's just that the best that things are going to be is the way they are. She was right. Never, ever will we have universal single-payer health care. And we're not going to rein in the excesses of Wall Street. And we're not going to break up the big banks. And we're not going to do anything about the filthy money in politics. We're not going to do anything about super PACs because, well, she wouldn't have had a campaign without super PACs. I mean, Bernie ran without super PACs, and look where that got Bernie. So, under the best of circumstances, nothing's going to get any better. Under the worst of circumstances, things are going to get manifestly worse. I mean, just think about one of those guys that Trump says he wants to nominate to the Supreme Court. I mean, granted, the two Obama nominees got a case dead wrong, as mentioned earlier. But every now and then they get a case right. And, you know, when you're dealing with centrists, that's about as much as you can hope for. There will not be another Ruth Bader Ginsburg nominated to the Supreme Court. Okay? On the other hand, Trump becomes president, you're going to get, his short list includes the single most inimical man to the LGBTQQ community in the entire federal judiciary prior, you know, whose history includes posting naked pictures of himself to gay pickup sites. No college either, Steve, no. No, there's not going to be any college for there's not going to be any tuition-free college for little hillbilly kids or little smart little ghetto kids or kids of the heartland with the brains and the desire to go but not the money. No, we're not going to do that because we use weasel words to describe healthcare like affordable, and we use weasel words like affordable to describe access to higher education. Nope. But it will be manifestly worse. Just you wait and see when Trump beats her. Whew. Somebody remind me, please, as we get nearer to Election Day, to lay in at least a case of rot gut tequila, would you please? There you go. There's the rule, as propounded by Carol Baker. Any and all judges adjudicating a claim regarding Donald Trump must be whiter than Brian Fisher's hair. Yes. Arthur noting, of course, Fisher can't see the racism. It's hard to see through those tiny holes in the robes. In the pillowcase. Hi, Brother Bob. Hi, Arthur. Y'all got it. You've got it. Another note from a member of the Trinity of Steve. I'm kind of slow on this politics stuff. Is Hillary the woman who won half an election because she got the delegates and lost the people? Or is she the one who shoved her head so far up her own ass all she wound up finding was an enormous ego? I'm projecting just a whit into the future, of course, but I do know this. In America, you can easily become the glowing candidate who ends her days just another number, 49.9% of the popular vote, say. Especially with those fancy computerized secret decoder ring voting machines out there. And I speak with true authority. I'm a Florida cracker, dagburn it. Then again, you wouldn't end up with 4 years of shrill and condescending tutorial from a woman who's just too damn smart for her own designer britches. Not to mention the snoozing, hound dogish first man over there, scratching at his fleas right next to the fire. But speaking of nothing in particular, have you seen the latest clenched fist, stiff arm salute that El Presidente Trump is trying out of late? Yeah, that salute. Makes old W come across as some kind of goofy gentleman, if nothing near a scholar. Interesting times. Regards, Steve in China. And Brother Usher Steve in New York adds, it's time to corner the market on swirly straws. Do it whilst you may. But racism and the fact that the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini is a victim thereof has become the order of the day over on the right wing among his goose-stepping fascisti supporters. Never heard of these folks, but they're apparently a YouTube sensation. Diamond and Silk. And they are a pair of women of color who have grabbed their little niche for their 15 minutes of fame by becoming hardcore Trumpistas. So how long could it have been before they were called upon, a pair of women of color, to decry the racism to which he, poor put upon Donald Trump, is being subjected? Don't put the hockey puck away.
Now, let me get to your take on this whole controversy surrounding the judge. Lay it down Diamond and Silk style, will you?
Could he have sounded any more nerdy, J.D. Hayworth? Lay it down Diamond and Silk style, will ya? Okay.
Well, first of all, you know, the judge is biased. You know, yes. He's Mexican. He's of Mexican descent, or his heritage is Mexican. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. It's just like when you walk into the courtroom, defendant, and the jury is all white, mm-hmm. or vice versa.
That's
or
right.
When a defense team is defending a black client with an all white jury.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is a plaintiff in a case.
Yes.
And this man happens to be the judge.
No, sister. No, he's the defendant in a case, and he's being sued for fraud over his bogus bullshit fake university. But let's not get lost in the details, shall we?
Yeah.
Let me, as we're working to get the Skype working again, ladies, we've got Diamond and Silk and maybe a little difficulty with the Skype.
Yeah, I don't think they ever got him back, but, you know, that's what it is. Donald Trump, is there a jury in this case? I honestly don't know. Will it go to a jury? How are we going to find an all-orange, I mean, if it does, how are we going to find an all-orange jury to serve as finders of fact for the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini? Yeah, I'm kind of flummoxed, must admit. And, well, let's take it one step further, shall we? Yes. You may recall last night that the angry Indian pointed out, you know, Pat Buchanan must just be sitting there going, man, I just jumped the gun. It could have been me. Well, he's still shining up his credentials because there are, like I said, I think people want to be vice president under Trump more than most people ever want to be vice president under anybody. Pat Buchanan, I think, would like to be considered in that light. He just penned a column, you know, like yesterday, in which he offered up his vision at Wingnut Daily of just exactly what's going on with the case against Donald Trump for his fraud mill fake university. And he hauls out a very, very special, special word in describing what's going on here. And again, the case hasn't gone to I don't think the first witness has been called, have they? This is all in the pretrial discovery phase, the battling motions back and forth, the motions under Rule 12b-6 for dismissal for failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted, failure to join necessary parties, the summary judgment on the pleadings, judgment notwithstanding the pleadings, judgment because he's orange, you know, all that stuff that happens before the oh yay ever gets hollered. But Pat Buchanan didn't waste any time. Before the lynching of the Donald proceeds, what exactly was it he said about that Hispanic judge? Oh, really? Like, not kidding. He used the word lynching. As if someone... Because when you use that very, very, very loaded, freighted word, what you're referring to is someone being beaten and tortured and strung up in a tree, maybe set fire to, having his dead body desecrated and people taking home pieces as souvenirs while lots and lots of people stand around and watch and laugh. Before the lynching of the Donald proceeds, what exactly was it he said about the Hispanic judge? Stated succinctly, Donald Trump said U.S. District Judge Gonzalo Curiel, who is presiding over a class action suit against Trump University, is sticking it to him. And the judge's bias is likely rooted in the fact that he is of Mexican descent. You know, the fact that it's a class action suit kind of says something, doesn't it? It's not like one person got,
you know, a D at Trump University and just sort of filed suit. You know, it's not that situation where, you know, back in school you'd say, I got an A, but on the other end of the spectrum, the professor gave me an F. All A's are earned, all F's are given. No, this is not that. Can there be any defense of a statement so horrific? Just this. First, Trump has a perfect right to be angry about the judge's rulings and to question his motives. Second, there are grounds for believing Trump is right. On May 27th, Curiel, at the request of the Washington Post, made public plaintiff accusations against Trump University that the whole thing was a scam. The Post, which Bob Woodward tells us has 20 reporters digging for dirt in Trump's past, had a field day. Wait, okay. So the Washington Post asked Judge Curiel to allow the public to see the nature of the accusations against Trump University, and this being a public trial, and this and the courthouse of the doors being constitutionally required to be open to the people, the judge acceded to the request because everybody can't go to his courthouse and look at the pleadings. Now, I'm the last guy to come to for defense of the Washington Post, but that's reporting. That's reporter work. That's what the... Right. And who is Curiel? An appointee of President Obama, he has for years been associated with the La Raza Lawyers Association of San Diego, which supports pro-illegal immigrant organizations. Set aside the folly of letting Clinton surrogates like the Post distract him from the message he should be delivering. What did Trump do to be smeared by a bipartisan media mob as a racist? Well, to answer your question there, Pat, because you're an idiot, what happened is that Trump came out and said that he could not be judged fairly simply because of the genetics of the judge on the bench. That. Obama himself attacked the Citizens United decision in a State of the Union address with the justices sitting right in front of him. Yeah, but see, that's the thing, Pat. He didn't say that they delivered the Citizens United ruling because he was black or because they were white. I mean, he didn't even say what most of us think to be true, that they delivered the Citizens United ruling because they were ruling in favor of their class and their political party. He didn't say any of those things. He just, for once, used the bully pulpit of his office to address a manifest injustice. But Trump's real hanging offense, there we go again, was that he brought up the judge's ancestry as the son of Mexican immigrants, implying that he was something of a judicial version of Univision's Jorge Ramos. Man, when Pat gets his racist dog whistle out, that thing can be heard from the Canadian border to the Mexican one, and sea to shining sea. Apparently it is now not only politically incorrect, but in Newt Gingrich's term, inexcusable, to bring up the religious, racial, or ethnic background of a judge or suggest this might influence his actions on the bench. But these things matter. Yeah, you know, Pat's a good Roman Catholic, and I'm sure he isn't at all bothered by the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States is dominated by Roman Catholics, and we don't even have not one single atheist, even though atheists and non-believers make up fully at least 20% of the population of the United States. And can you imagine the outcry at a Senate confirmation hearing if a Supreme Court justice was to be asked the question? The outcry wouldn't come from asking the question, it would come from the answer, "Sir, what's your religion?" No, Senator, I don't believe in any invisible friends.
Great Scott, I move that this man be this man's nomination be summarily rejected, and that he be impeached from the federal whatever federal bench he sits on. My God, this is disgusting. But, you know, like I said, at least they've figured out that racism is a thing, even if it meant even if they think that the thing that racism is something that's done to, you know, a multimillionaire. I'm a billionaire! Yeah, prove it. So we got that going for us. But civil rights are all the rage now with the upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, evangelical, amosexuals. Yeah. We haven't heard from Chappie Gordon Klingenschmidt in a while. You know, if you use a little club soda, you can get any Klingenschmidt on your clothes right out. Chappie's not so worried about T-Rump. I'm sure he'll be numbered among his followers when the time comes. These are all grifters, and they know how to do what they do. By the way, Brother Usher Steve says an all-orange jury. You need to contact Willy Wonka and let the court use his Oompa Loompas. Right. GK says under the subject line tequila. I thought I'd never feel that lump in my throat arise like it did after the 2000-2004 elections, or giveaway, but I do. Oh well, it's where we live, so I'll just have to slog through all the bullshit I've unfortunately become oh so accustomed to. I'll have my pitchfork and torch handy just in case. Now I think I'll go check my tar and feather supply just in case. Oh yeah, remember the Rock Gut Tequila, and don't forget to check your swirly straw supply. See, you guys are so good. Just do this again somewhere near Election Day, okay? Please. Because remember, liquor stores are closed in West Virginia on Election Day. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you don't want somebody just being able to run to the liquor store and pick up a case of Four Roses pints and start giving them out of the trunk in exchange for, you know, votes or anything. But, like I said, I'm sure when the time comes, Chappie will be counted in that number. When the Trumps go marching in, but he's worried about the homosexuals getting married, and it just so happens that he found himself an interracial couple to talk about how their struggle is not the same struggle as them homosexuals. Really, it's Wednesday. You're not putting down the hockey puck, are you?
As far as interracial relationships are concerned, we didn't even know that there was a law against interracial marriages until 1967 with Attorney General at the time, Robert Kennedy, and Mr. and Mrs. Lovings. Now, that is not the same as a same-sex anything, because that was a civil right, because you're looking at the two different skin colors and making a judgment based on that. When you're dealing with someone of the same sex or involved with the same sex or whatever, they're bringing their dirty laundry and bedroom stuff to the people. And it is not a civil right. You know, this.
Yeah, you got that. Right. It's not a civil right for same-sex couples to get married because of their dirty bedroom laundry stuff. Of course, she forgets. Ruth Bryant White does. She forgets how absolutely disgusted good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians used to get at the very thought of the muddying of the races. Yeah, and the mingling of the bloods. I mean, that was enough to put them right off their dinner. Mm-hmm.
bedroom stuff, pillow shams, mattress pads, nightstands, bedroom stuff. God damn it. Yeah.
It's not for anybody to tell someone who they can get married to, because we have to answer to God, ultimately to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And so I could care less what somebody else thinks or says, especially if the word of God is not against it. So, you know, that's what we have.
Well, now that's the argument we're hearing today. And you're Christians, you believe the Bible.
Yes.
But yeah, there are some homosexual couples that are using some of those same arguments. They're saying, you can't tell anyone who they should marry. What does the Bible say?
Well, they stole it from us. Well, you know, God talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the homosexuality.
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see the Bible verse that says that. Shh. It doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because God's the same today, right now, today, and prep. Yeah, yep, yep. Well, except that part where he goes from being really mean and nasty and hateful in the Old Testament to being all sweet and loving and kind in the New. But that's because he got a makeover in Greece, right?
That was involved in it. And you go into the book of Romans, God just threw his hands up and said, you know, you're just burning with this lust for one another, you know, and I'm just going to let you go ahead and do it to the...
Funny, I thought Paul wrote that. No, God.
That's right.
Romans chapter 1.
Right.
He gave them over, you know, because they...
To the lusts of their flesh.
The lusts of their own flesh. Women with women and men with men. And it talks about that in the book of Romans. So you guys need to go and read it.
Is unseemly. Yeah.
So homosexuality is based on lust, which God forbids as a sin.
Yes.
But your marriage is based on love, which God commands between one man and one woman.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad we got that cleared up. Gay marriage is nothing but lust. Lust, 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 lust. Although, you know, there's something that just, I don't know, I've got something in the back of my, in the back of my mind that tells me that an old gay married couple is probably about as boring as an old straight married couple. And that somewhere along the way, usually shortly after the nuptial vows, I'm exaggerating, but we're human beings. We grow older. It drives change. Hormone production changes, and we're, you know, maybe where before we were randy as little goats, maybe we become more like snoozing hound dogs by the fire. To use something from Steve in China's note. Mm-hmm. But exactly, Arthur in the chat room says, I didn't know the Bible was so kinky. Oh, it's the filthiest book ever been written, Arthur. You should read it. It's dirty, 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 dirty. I mean, when Abraham's down there in Egypt going, she's my sister, she's my sister, she's my sister. Now do her, Pharaoh, do her real good. Make her bark at the moon. Hoo-wee! Get her, get her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or when Lot's daughters, after the aforesaid Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot's daughters say, let's get the old man liquored up and fuck him. For yea, verily, there are no men around here for us to copulate with, so we might as well copulate with Daddy. And then later on in the New Testament, Lot gets described as a man beloved of God. Instead of a guy who, got raped by his daughters. They came, they saw, they banged him. Well, thanks very kindly, Jay Cruzen, but I don't think that's going to go anywhere, buddy. By the way, I'll note at this juncture, right here at the top of the hour, that thanks to Jack in Shreveport, we are halfway to meeting Darlene's challenge in honor of Bernie's candidacy. Thank you again, Darlene. We need to raise $300 this evening. This is a great challenge, but the thing with challenges, Jay Cruzan, is that they have to have a reasonable chance of being met. Jay Cruzan says under the subject line, a challenge, I will put up $10 for any reason someone has for me to vote for Hillary, excluding the Supreme Court, Donald Trump, fascism taking over, DLC not getting seats in the House, and just so we can say we voted for her when she gets nothing done. Challenge goes to $200. I think that last one was a dig at me. Challenge goes to $200 and must be valid reasons. Well, I'm not going to help. That's up to y'all. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of hilarians listening to the program. So while that would be badly needed and would actually get us out of the hole, I don't think we're going to get out of the hole on your challenge there, Jay Cruzan. I mean, you've taken all of the reasons away. The Supreme Court, okay. I mean, there's a whole lot of people that are voting for the Supreme Court alone, but that one's out of the challenge. Because Donald Trump is far worse. There's a whole lot of people voting for her on that account too, and that's out of the challenge. Fascism taking over. Well, I could quibble a bit and say that happened a while back, but. Maybe if you mean by in terms of like snappier uniforms and people marching in the streets and beating the shit out of people for the sheer joy of it, that, yeah, possibly. The DLC doesn't really exist anymore, I don't think, but I think maybe Jay Cruzan means the DNC not getting seats in the House. Well, they weren't going to get those seats in the House anyway. I don't know who in their right mind would even advance that argument. And then, like I said, I think this one was a dig at me, just so we can say we voted for her when she gets nothing done. No. The reason I'm voting for her is because I'm not willing to engage in the burn baby burn theory of political, satisfaction. Because, well... See, I'd be cheating if I gave this answer. All right, I'll do this. Because Hillary Clinton will veto shit that Donald Trump would sign. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For instance, let me think up one. The Republicans are crafting a bill right now to gut Senator Warren's Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Donald Trump would gladly sign that bill into law. I am confident to my last dollar that Hillary Clinton would veto it. Mm-hmm. There's one. See, I just screwed myself out of $10. Meanwhile, Arnold with a message says, nothing gets done under Hillary. As a disabled American, I fear the next 4 years under either Clinton or Trump. And you have a right to. Dear God, you have a right to. Steve, Brother Usher Steve, I don't mean for this to be a program that gets you wrought. The whole purpose here is kind of the least we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is all we got in common is our misery, so the least we can do is share it. Steve says, sorry to be violent, but actually I'm not. I'd like to shoot Chappie Klingenschmitt's balls off. I'm really fucking sick and tired of letting these homophobic bastards get away with saying my 16-year relationship is loveless. Yeah. Oh, no, I thought I kicked the preamp earlier. Brother Deacon Asa said, I think you might need to kick the preamp again, Bob. No, I'm not actually kicking anything. I'm pounding it with the fist. See, there it went. There it went. I probably broke it for the last time. Damn it. You couldn't be happy, could you, Asa? Come on back. Come on back and talk to Teddy Bear. Dang it. Earther with a message saying, there is that SNL skit where a guy's granted wishes by a genie, so he asks for a lesbian couple, but he didn't ask for a hot lesbian couple, so he was disappointed. Well, okay. You want to go there? We can go there. And it will. Robert in Australia is probably already aware of this. But it's revolting nonetheless. The story comes out of Mebbin. Trying to say that right. Come on back. There it is. There it is. Okay. Good, good, good. A lesbian couple. Come on. We can do this. Just got to find the right place. Oh, someday. Damn it. Come on. Oh, well. A lesbian couple got an Uber, called an Uber to take them home in Melbourne. And apparently the women said that at first the driver thought that they were just a couple of hot women. And then when he realized they were lesbians, he lit into them in a homophobic rant, which, being, you know, this is the second half of the second decade of the 21st century, and everybody has a high quality recording device in their pocket, they proceeded any better? No. Damn it. They proceeded to record the guy. And here it is when the argument as it ensued. Hockey puck.
Why do you think it's okay to use terms like faggot, abo, spastic retard while you're driving an Uber? Why do you think that's okay, John?
I can do anything I want if I am prepared to suffer the consequences.
Are you prepared to suffer the consequences?
What, are you going to give me a one rating and make a complaint? And when I write my report about two faggots who don't like being called faggots, then what are they going to say?
I think they're going to say that...
What do you think they're
going to
say?
Well, yeah, what do you think?
I have no clue, and I don't care.
Why not?
Why would I?
Well, you're hurting people.
I'm hurting you.
You're hurting,
get out of the car.
Why?
Because I just asked you to, and if you don't, I will get out and drag you out.
You'll drag us out of your Uber?
I will drag
Why?
You out of the Uber because I asked you to get out, and you're not getting out.
On what grounds would you drag us out?
Is this my car?
Yeah.
Then get out of my car, please. Put a recording. Get out of my car, please, or I'll call the police.
No, you're absolutely right. We'll get out. John, what?
And they did. They got out of John's car. They got out of John's Uber. And then they contacted Uber. And instead of filing a response to their complaint and, you know, it's all... No, Uber fired his ass. The women wanted to make plain why it was that they went public with this. Lucy Thomas and Chelsea Lang. Ms. Thomas said, the only reason we decided to share this is because we want the community to know these issues are still a problem. given the current climate in Australia, it's now more important than ever that LGBTI people are visible along with the discrimination they face. Now, see, because it's Australia, the guy was just an asshole to them. If that had been American, he probably would have killed them. Because, you know, freedom.
Wolverines!
Right? Yeah, charming, isn't it? It just goes on and on and on, you know, because it's... Prayer meeting Wednesday. don't worry about it, Asa. Asa said, my bad, send me the model number. I'll buy you a new one and send it to you. Seriously, no. I don't know. At some point we may do something about a new mixer, but not tonight. I can't. What else? Because it's prayer meeting Wednesday? What else? There's a lot of else. There really is. Let's see. How about this? How about we go to Easton, Pennsylvania? Home of, former home of, was it Larry Holmes, the Easton Assassin? Yeah, a former church council president and professional educator was arrested recently. Mm-hmm. Kelly Aldinger, aged 49, was arrested back in the beginning of May after a police officer on a routine patrol found her and an unidentified teenager having sexy time in a car parked, of course, in a cemetery. Ms. Aldinger is a substitute teacher in the vicinity of Easton. And she met the student in a class the year before and began having an affair with him. And yes, she was previously the council president of St. Paul's the Third Lutheran Church. I didn't know there was... Paul the Third. St. Paul the Third's Lutheran Church, where she was in charge of Sunday school and vacation Bible school. Yeah. Okie doke. Suffer the little children to come unto me. How about a little something in North Carolina, Stan? How about Reverend Kenneth Darrell Worley? You know, one of the things that creates more misery in the religious community is the notion that preachers, many of whom have less education than the people they're counseling, don't counsel real good. So it was with the Reverend Kenneth Darrell Worley. He come to a woman's house there in Salisbury, North Carolina, to counsel with her in the name of Jesus. And he counseled on her in the name of Jesus for about 2 hours. And then, according to an interview that she gave to WSCO, Reverend Kenneth Darrell Worley, and again, in the name of Jesus, asked her, could he give her a big old hug?
And so the woman in question said, well, that seemed okay, you know, sure. And that's when he tried to mount her on the sofa there, pushed her back onto the sofa, and this here's a quote. She said, he started sticking his tongue into my ear, licking on my neck. He was groping me. This was months and months and months ago because she called the police right then and there, but the police wouldn't really investigate. Finally, though, when she called him for the umpteenth bajillionth time, they explained to her that they had charged Reverend Kenneth Darrell Worley with misdemeanor sexual battery. And despite the charge of misdemeanor sexual battery, he remains senior pastor at the New Hope, and of course we kind of knew this going in, Baptist Church. Yeah, we knew that. The woman in question says, I just worry that he was so brazen about what he did. I feel like there's got to be other victims out there. There he was, rutting on my Mayella. Because Jesus! All right. And then he stuck his tongue in my ear. You're right. Because he was just full of the love of Christ. Oh, by the way, how about a Target update? You remember Angela Cummings? We had a video of her a week or two ago, somewhere up in New York State, screaming at kids at school. Well, she gets around somehow. Quick email. Brother Usher Steve says, see? Reverend Worley just shows that the gays are all about that lust, unlike the real love of this old fucker. Well, that's the love of Christ Jesus that's all wet and sloppy inside her ear, Steve. Dadgummit, don't you understand? It's not like that homosexual lust that's not based in God's commandment for a man and a woman to stick tongues in each other's ears. Mm-hmm. I had no idea, Labor Man. In the chat room, Labor Man says, "Oh, the old tongue in the old ear trick." No, come here, get a little closer, honey. I got to give you the secret word of wisdom of Christ's love. Whoa. They're at the Baptist Seminary. They call that the wet savior. Oh, sometimes I hate myself. Oh, never mind. Don't worry about it, Steve. Don't worry about it. Steve says, sorry about my loquaciousness. There must be a burr under my saddle tonight. No, it's okay. You're doing fine. We've got a lovely little conversation going on here. Hillary, the judge of the challenge no one's ever going to meet, Jay Cruzan, says that my giveaway is that namely that Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton would veto bills that Trump would sign. Says no, that's disqualified. That's because of Trump. and follows with the email, valid reasons. And by valid reasons, I mean something that is possible, not the shit we hung our hopes on Obama to do. That sure as hell lets out climate change, doesn't it? Oh, wait. Wait. No, you're going to say that's because Trump, too, Jay Cruzen. T. Rump said the other day that he would absolutely abrogate the Paris Climate Accords to the extent that we signed off on them. Hillary would not do that. But, again, that's because Trump. I really do. I think that's a challenge with a no-win clause. So maybe I'd better go back to hoping that five or ten folks will fill in the last $50 of Darlene's challenge and at least get us two-thirds of the way to the $300 fundraising goal we've got for the evening. Oh, hallelujah. We are now three quarters of the way to Darlene's challenge. Thank you, Frank. Thank you very, very kindly. Only $25 to go. That's a huge help. 20 minutes past the hour, and I didn't realize I'd been filibobstering this long. And I tried listening to this last night, and I couldn't get through it, and I'm not going to subject you to it. But if you just want to listen to what happens when the acid goes bad, there's a clip out there of David Duke. Better? There it is. There's a clip out there of David Duke. And he, too, has an opinion on why it is that the response has been the way it is for T. Rump saying that he can't get a fair shake from Judge Curiel. I mean, we have our fun with the evangelicals and stuff, but I find it extremely difficult to listen to Klansmen and Nazis and the like. And the acid did go bad with David Duke, and he went right off the rails. And, of course, the negative press about Trump is entirely the fault of the Jew media. And that's easily enough said, or easily enough pointed out, but it's all the babbling bullshit nonsense that he wraps it in before. Oh my God! So that one's on you if you want to. But anyway, Angela Cummings, how does this woman get from New York to Knoxville, Tennessee, and points in between? Once again, failure of the First Amendment. Angela Cummings showed up, and you know, I would assume she thought she had a friendly audience there at the Target in Knoxville, Tennessee. I mean, it's Tennessee stand. But, well, just check it out for yourself. You know, today in Target. Today in Targeted Witnessing. Ooh, that's a good one, Bob. That's a very good one. Yeah, proud of that. Yeah. This is really not a night for putting down the hockey puck at all, is it?
Hey everybody, I am at a Target right now. I'm fixing to go in there and preach. I was supposed to hold the camera for somebody today, and they were going to do the preaching. I was very excited.
Some oddie, yeah, some oddie indeed, really oddie. But anyway,
made an announcement to a lot of people that this was going to happen. So I contacted my pastor. I was like, what should I do? And he said, turn it into a teaching about how people, you know, cancel on you for different reasons and how you're going to go ahead and do it anyway. And that's how it feels like, you know, when you have an assignment, for me, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I'd rather be doing something else right now. I was only going to hold the camera, but I want this to be a teaching to those of you that are new at preaching, that just because you're excited about an outreach doesn't mean you're not going to be tested or not going to be canceled on. Or, you know, there's times when it rains and people cancel. There's times when it's too hot and they cancel. There's many reasons over.
This woman has pink hair in defiance of the law of God Almighty. And it's not all hidden away, so it won't drive the men into paroxysms of lust. Why has she not been stoned yet? Well, I mean, it's not legal in Tennessee, but whatever.
For my 15 years of preaching, why people have canceled, and I honor my friend's decision not to come, but within my own integrity, I felt like I needed to preach anyway. So it's Gay Pride Month. And I imagine there's going to be gay pride stuff in here.
Ooh, gay pride stuff in the Target in Knoxville. Oh, my goodness sakes. Whatever would that be? Attention, Target. Wait. Attention, Target shoppers. The red Target light is flashing now in the dildo section. You didn't even know we had a dildo section at Target. But it's Gay Pride Month. Okay, we admit it. We installed the red light in the dildo section just for Angela Cummings because we knew she was coming. We didn't want her to be disappointed. Arthur pointing out, oh, then there's times when they see who's preaching, so they cancel. I can imagine it works that way some. Yeah. Hey, by the way, in regard to Jay Cruzan's unwinnable challenge, note coming in from Michael in Madison. Subject line, Kobayashi Maru. Where's James Tiberius Kirk when you need him? Somebody needs to Kobayashi Maru this challenge, and it ain't going to be me. I'm way too Vulcan for this shit. Signed, Michael in Madison. Okay. How would you Kobayashi Maru Jay Cruzan's challenge? Oh, now you got my mind going, and that's never a good thing, especially on a Wednesday, Michael. Okay, back to Angela Cummings.
So it's not just going to be about the bathroom policy. You know, it's going to be about the gay pride, too. The Bible says God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble.
Yeah, and he also said for you to keep your mouth shut when you're in church, too. But I bet that doesn't slow you down, does it, sister? Because, you know, you just pick the part of the Bible, parts of the Bible that agree with your prejudices because you're an idiot. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Live at Target. Here we go.
Yeah, walking, 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 walking. I think we're in Target now.
What do you think about the men using your bathroom? Does it bother you?
Yeah.
It does bother you?
Yeah.
It bothers me, too. I think I'll preach about it. Right here, right now. You ever seen somebody preach in Target?
No, I'm shopping now.
Hey, it's okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to be seen with me.
Lucky her. It's... What is she, Mr. Rogers? It's okay. You don't have to be seen with me. Okay.
Attention, Target shoppers!
You know, she learned that in Kmart.
Men are allowed to go into the women's bathroom if they self-identify
identify as a woman. Sir, are you going to go to the women's bathroom today? Good. Thank you. Are you going to go to the women's bathroom?
Ma'am, I'm not going to answer that question. I need you to stop making a scene,
though. Okay, Target. You have a gay pride.
Okay, so you may not have heard that, but a Target employee just said, ma'am, I'm going to need you to stop this. She just walks away and ignores him because, you know, rules of private property, rules of civilized behavior, they don't apply to Christians. Earther pointing out, you know, I don't know why she uses that Mr. Rogers voice where it sounds like she's trying a pickup line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, back in Target.
Problem. And the Bible says pride goes before a fall. That has kind of happened to you. You've been losing lots of money, and God is happy that you are losing money because you oppose God. And because you oppose God, He opposes you. There's only two kingdoms, light and darkness. Target has chose to work for hell. Target has chose to allow anybody in the little girl's bathroom.
Oh, there's that little girl's bathroom again. Yeah, I know, Devin. Oh, this woe man again. I know. I'm still looking for that little girl's bathroom in Target. I guess the men have to crawl under that 2.5-foot-tall door. I don't know.
That is perversion. That is wicked. It's not okay with God. And if people get molested in your store, you are accountable.
The only thing being that, interestingly, there's never been a case of a trans person molesting anybody in a restroom in Target, Walmart, or anywhere else. There have, however, been plenty of cases of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-metalist, homosexuals being busted for doing that. Or, you know, sticking their tongue in somebody's ear. Yeah, none of saying it. Yeah, yeah. It's a wet prince apiece. It's a Devin says it's next to the lube kiosk. Oh, you sick. Ow! Yeah. So there she goes, just walking through the Target. She's not being shown out or anything. She's just kind of heading through the checkout and headed toward the door.
Before God and the state of Tennessee.
Which, interestingly, are one and the same in Tennessee.
Rebuked. Now, if you're not saved, let me tell you how to get saved.
Ma'am.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and...
Ma'am, you're going to have to leave. Nope, still not interested in any rules of civilized behavior.
You shall be saved. Repent. Turn to the God of the Bible. Stop.
Management. Thorazine dart to check out aisle 3. Thorazine dart to check out aisle 3.
Stop supporting sodomy. If you're a Christian,
ma'am,
shame on you for shopping at Target. Store is of Lucifer.
Ma'am.
Lucifer. Repent, Target. Repent.
And I know we all feel so much better now. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa and to VJ. We have now met Darlene's challenge, and we are well on the way, just $75 away now, from finishing off the entire fundraising goal for the evening. Yay. Thank you very kindly.
everybody. So $75 to go, and we got it taken care of this evening. A note from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansastan. Subject line, preaching. Why is it so excruciatingly difficult to listen to that preaching wombat? It's like fingernails on a blackboard plus. And the larger question, how does she get from New York to Knoxville? I mean, I know there's highways in there. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Steve, Brother Usher Steve, maybe Reverend Worley should speak in tongues to her. How did I miss speaking in tongues? Oh, my God. I had to wait for y'all. I'm slipping. Michael in Madison says, I knew the Kobayashi Maru remark would get your mind going, but despite my previous declaration of surrender, it got the gears going in my mind, too. Honestly, I couldn't keep track of all the disqualifying factors. After I ran out of fingers and toes, I quit. Nonetheless, does this count? If by chance we can elect Hillary Clinton, we will never, ever, ever have to deal with another contested Democratic primary featuring Hillary Clinton. Maybe with the Clintons behind us, that'll make room for an actual progressive in 8 years? Signed, Michael at Starfleet Academy. Ha ha! Pay up, Jay Cruzen. He gotcha. You've been Kobayashi Maru'd by a guy who's probably going to wind up to be like the great 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 grandfather of the James Tiberius Kirk who gets born in a few more centuries. Ha ha! Score. And with that, and being a little over halfway through the program, we'll take our break. This is listener supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I was born one morning, the rain a pouring down. Heard my mammy say to my pappy, let's call him John Henry Brown. Walk on, boy. Walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help. Just about the age of 10, Lord, I got me a job of working on the levee, toting water for the hard-working men. Walk on, boy. Walk on down the road. Ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you. Pappy told me some advice I want to give to you. Son, find a good woman, be good to her, and she's gonna be good to you. Walk on, boy. Walk on down the road. There ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. Should ask you just who is that fella Brown?
You can tell him I'm the boy that left his hammer smoking where he beat that steam drill down. Walk on, boy. Walk on down the road. There ain't nobody in this whole wide world gonna help you carry your load. Walk on, boy. Walk on, boy. Walk on, boy.
Mysterious are the ways of the frustrated old DJ. That, of course, the late, great Doc Watson. Walk on, boy. And I was inspired to it just by watching that Angela Cummings woman just walking on through Target. Yeah. By the way, in answer to my question about that little girl's bathroom at Target she keeps talking about, Sister Carol Baker says, don't tell anyone, but I use the little girl's bathroom because they don't have a specified big girl's bathroom, but I only peed and resisted the urge to molest. But that raises the larger question, she notes. In order to repent, do I have to pent first? And how do I do that? You don't want to know. Carol notes I'm asking for a friend. Oh, God. So much stupidity, so many Christians, and so little prayer meeting Wednesday. Greetings to the Horn Family Community Congregation from the damn near frozen again environs of Ottawa, says Ron in the far freezing north. Last week it was up in the 80s, today the high was about 50, and down to 40 degrees overnight. Oh, almost forgot the 30 mile an hour wind and rain showers. I love me some spring in Canada. Mother Nature is a fickle bitch, but she will always get to bat last. Nature bats last. Nature bats after the oil companies bat. Ooh, okay, aha. We've got another Kobayashi Maru in. See, we've stirred the intellectual juices. Labor man pointing out, tell Jay Cruzan, because Hillary can bake cookies. Ooh, ooh. Thank you for the kind note, by the way, VJ. Just saying, keep up the great work. Thank you, VJ. Thank you very kindly. Because after all, and then Labor Man notes, she made cookies at Christmas when she was the first lady on I Unexpert Guest. I neglected to mention, the phone lines are open if you want to jump in. The stress line, of course, is area code 304-663-4676, area code 304-663-HORN. The other number is 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. And from anywhere on the planet that doesn't have you firewalled off, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. And, lines are open. Operators are standing by. What else do we have? Just because nobody gets a pass on prayer meeting Wednesday, this. And I find this disgusting. Anyone wanting to make an argument for segregated anything to me is going to be climbing a pretty steep hill. Well, according to Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, all right, a little bit of background. In Williamsburg, Brooklyn, New York, there's something called the Metropolitan Swimming Pool. You remember way back when communities all over the South closed their public swimming pools? because laws of because constitutional law and laws of accommodation said that people with dark skin got to swim in the pool too, not just the white folks who would sit there and turn pink and then turn red and then blister and peel. Swimming pools were closed all over the South because folks figured if they couldn't have segregated swimming pools, they wouldn't have swimming pools at all. And then, just as the churches opened up nice all lily white academies for their little white children to go and learn about reading and writing and arithmetic and Jesus in, churches started building swimming pools. And, you know, that way they could keep their little white children from having to get in chlorinated water with little black children. Right? Well, there's a similar something going on in New York City, of all places. You know, I think about our friends in the Horn Family Community Congregation who live in New York, and this must just disgust them. The religion industry never stops. The religion industry will always seek to impose its weird theocratic values on the rest of us who want nothing to do with them. Swimming pools! So there it is, the Metropolitan Swimming Pool on Bedford Avenue in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And there we are in New York City, in New York State, where they have equal access laws. But now, a swimming pool that is owned by the people of New York has been compelled to maintain gender-segregated swimming hours. You know, men-only hours and women-only hours at a swimming pool owned by the public to satisfy the Hasidic Jewish community. And it's not like they're trying to protect their women. The Hasidic Jewish men just can't be in the same water at the same time as the filthy women, you understand. So, the city's Commission on Human Rights warned that segregating swimmers by gender was a violation of those self-same equal access laws. And then it seemed like the management at the Metropolitan Pool was going to comply with the council's order that they desegregate swimming hours so that everyone could have access to the pool all the time. But along comes member of the New York State Assembly, Dov Hickind. H-I-K-I-N-D. Dov Hickind said, "What happened to being culturally sensitive? I thought we were in the midst of a progressive era where we do everything we can to be more accepting of cultural differences. In no way is this program for separate gender swimming meant to be discriminatory. Anyone, regardless of their race or religion, is more than welcome to take advantage of the facility services. We call upon the city and the Parks Department to reverse this decision and ensure the continuation of this program," which the Parks Department did. And I guess Dov Hickind is correct. Anybody can swim in that pool as long as they're of the correct gender, or wrong gender in the case of women, at the right time. Fucking fundies. God damn. There's no end of it. If it's not the Christian fundies, it's the Jewish fundies. If it's not the Jewish fundies, it's the Muslim fundies. If it's not the Muslim fundies, it's the Hindu fundies. Shit the bed. Attempting to defend this absolute bullshit is Rabbi David Niederman, director of the United Jewish Organizations of Williamsburg, describing the need for segregated swimming. Not really, segregated swimming. Strom Thurmond would be so happy. Well, you know, as long as none of the filthy women who were swimming were filthy black women. I mean, yeah, that would make Strom happy. But anyway, Rabbi David Niederman said, men are much more active. They go, they walk, they go to work. What does he mean when he say they go? Do they go in the pool? They're all day outside. Women are more homebound. Especially women who have a lot of children. That type of exercise is very healthy for them. Depriving that, it hurts. Nobody's depriving them of that, Rabbi. They're just suggesting that maybe you and the fucking weirdos that listen to you come on in out of the goddamn Bronze Age and get with the program in the 21st century where we don't think women are filthy just because, you know, they're women, sin of Eve, talking snakes, and all the rest of the attendant horseshit. Now, what's interesting, especially, is that Americans United for Separation of Church and State did some digging around, and they found out an interesting little fact. There are places like the Borough Park Y and the Shorefront Y where they got all kinds of gender-segregated swimming so that the good, upstanding, pure, God-studying men don't have to swim in the presence or be otherwise befouled by the existence of women. You know, we just now passed the 97th anniversary of the ratification of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote. Oh, really? And so here we are, 97 years later. Okay, so we're going to let them vote, but we can't let them swim in the presence of men because men will have to go and perform ritual abasement in front of their invisible friend because they were in the same pool as a filthy woman who, you know, I mean, you know, it's like Donald Trump said, you know, they bleed from their eyes and their noses and their wherevers, right? Yeah, right. Last night we had the story about the governor of New York enshrining what? Bigotry? By saying that no one who supported the boycott, divest, and sanctions movement could do business with the state of New York, you know, a blacklist. And here's this. Bless their hearts, even the New York Times got hold of this issue. New York Times wrote, there is just no way to tell a sweaty Brooklynite on a Sunday afternoon that he should be ejected onto Bedford Avenue because one religious group doesn't want him in the pool. The best solution would be for the city to immediately end religious segregation in the pools and limit the rules of separation only to practical considerations like keeping lap swimmers away from splashing children. Let those who cannot abide public secular rules at a public secular pool find their own private place to swim when and with whom they see fit. All of which is eminently reasonable and rational. And only fails because the New York Times fails to understand that the Hasidim of that hunk of Brooklyn are not happy in a secular society and want to impose their weird, goddamn, strange, bizarre, sick, twisted, misogynistic beliefs on people who otherwise want nothing to do with them. We're so screwed. We are so screwed. Hey, I got Jim trying to call in here. Jim, Jim in Louisiana, Stan, I don't know what in God's name is going on, but the damn Bluetooth shows that it's connected, and yet for some reason doesn't connect. I apologize. Thank you, Arnold. Arnold noting, rock on, Bob. Thank you. It's very kind of you, Arnold. Note coming in from Carol Baker. What if I work and I can't swim during the filthy women hours, so my tax dollars pay to discriminate against me? Yes. Yes, exactly that. Precisely that. You're expected to happily support with your tax dollars the discrimination that religious weirdos, whatever discrimination they wish to impose upon you. And see, here's the weird thing, the sick thing. These fucking fundies in Brooklyn would rather see no one in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, get to go swimming than to have their sick, twisted Bronze Age rules violated. Fucking assholes. Let's run over and check in with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing?
I guess it's a good thing I'm not a woman who wants to go swimming, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
And whatever happened to I love to go swimming with bow-legged women because I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I guess Popeye wasn't Hasidic.
No, no, Popeye definitely wasn't. After the election yesterday, the final primary day or the next to last Democratic primary day, if you think going up against establishment politics in this country is a rough way to go. Another exercise in futility is trying to make some sense or talk some sense into the people who are adherents of the pronouncements, real and imagined, of imaginary angry old men in the sky. I give you the lady wandering the aisles of Target at the top of her goddamned lungs. And I give you the Hasidic Jews in New York City and environs. It's just an exercise in madness. It's a no-win situation. You cannot out-crazy the crazy from those people. And nothing in the realm of common sense or logic or reality.
And if you tell them to just go the home and swim somewhere else, because we don't appreciate them imposing their weird bigoted religious misogyny on the rest of the you're persecuting me. What about the First Amendment? Where in the First Amendment is it guaranteed that they get to tell who people who can swim and who can't?
Yeah, it's a no-win situation. I was raised in the Catholic religion, and puttered around in various Protestant offshoots in the late 60s into the 70s. And I finally came to my senses about, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago and said, you know, it's a waste of my time and brain power to even dance with these fools.
Ultimately, I think unless you are willing to just chuck reason and common sense right out the window, that's the only conclusion you can reach.
Yeah. And it's you know, the other thing is the fact that it's all tax-free. These bastards are getting a tax-free ride on everybody else's dime. And, you know, any attempt that anybody makes to, you know, create a space in which these people can behave more appropriately in terms of what those steeped in a reality-based reality are up to, you know, any effort to do that is met with, like you say, oh, you're persecuting us. Oh, we're so put upon. And the thing about these crazy people doing their little self-crucifixion bit is they can never get down to pounding in that final nail. The self-crucifixion is such that that last nail, getting that fucker pounded in, is a bitch.
I-R-N-I, I'm right nailed in.
So, I don't know.
Well, I mean, it is. It's deeply frustrating, Scott, because ultimately, this is why we can't have nice things. And you know, the best, and your heart bleeds for the poor put upon women who marry these misogynistic pricks and are only allowed to go swimming if there's no men around, if there's just other filthy women. Because clearly the way to shatter this patriarchy into a million tiny pieces is for them to look at their husbands and say, you know, fuck off, I'm going swimming. If there's guys there, you're just going to have to deal with it. And if you don't like it, we can get a divorce. And fuck the rabbis and all of those people. We'll just get a divorce in civil court here in the county. And you can go to hell. But because they have the massive might of religious bigotry hanging over their heads like a sword of Damocles, they're just going to lump it. And while, as that particular asshole rabbi says, swimming is good exercise, well, it doesn't matter how good the exercise is if they can't do it within the strictures of their bizarre Bronze Age misogyny. You there, Scott?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just pondering what you're saying. It's
I mean, it's no different than the misogyny that's practiced in fundamentalist Wahhabist Islam or the Shia Islam of Iran.
Well, yeah, because it's all about control and social engineering and keeping people in line and keeping them scared and stupid. And the ironic thing is, you know, if you peel away all the layers of law and rules and strictures and things like that, it should theoretically all come down to love and the precept of love, which is to treat people the way you would wish to be treated.
Well, you got that, but it also comes down to the Constitution. Which is,
well, yeah.
which is religion neutral. I mean, the Hasidim of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, would have a shit hemorrhage if they had a Catholics only swimming hour at that public pool. And they should. And the Catholics would and the Catholics and the Hasidim would have a shit hemorrhage together if they had a Methodists only. And Jesus Christ, what that would do to the Baptists, you don't want to know.
Well, I've said for a long time that at 11 o'clock on any given Sunday morning in any city, town, or village, Christ himself could walk into a Christian, so-called Christian church, and there would be a mad scramble of ushers and deacons trampling over one another to be first to get to the phone to call up the Lowe's hardware joint to order up lumber and nails. You know.
Let's see if he still nails up as good as he used to.
Yeah. And
but screw that. No, Scott, they'd call Homeland Security because there was a dangerous-looking brown-skinned Middle Easterner in their midst.
Yeah, talking peace and love and stuff. Good God, where's the fun in that? You know?
I mean, remember the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing white people church that called the law on the guy of questionable skin tone who showed up carrying his freedom protector? Man, they didn't waste a minute getting on the blower for that. See, so you got that.
What, somebody brought a gun to church, is what you're saying?
Oh, a black guy did.
Oh, a black guy did. Oh, well, see, you know, that goes back to here in California when the Panthers were carrying shooting irons up into the California Assembly and Senate. Back when Reagan was governor, well, the legislatures made a mad dash over one another to be first to craft legislation that would put the kibosh on that in a fat-ass hurry.
Damn straight, because, you know, that's dangerous. And so, you know, see, the larger issue, this way lies madness. I mean, I wonder what our historic first ever female nominee for the presidency would think of this.
What, the swimming pools there in New York?
I mean, that's Brooklyn. That's just across the bridge. But, I mean, she told us all in that first debate she was the senator for Wall Street.
Yeah, well, she'd find a way to accommodate it.
What, the bigotry?
Well, she'd craft it in such a way as to play up the religious aspect and religious freedom aspect and play down the part about the bigotry. Because after all, these people vote.
No. The Hasidim are not going to vote for Hillary. She's a woman. I mean, can you imagine what's going to happen when she goes toadying up to Netanyahu? The hardcore ultra orthodox in Israel are gonna have the aforementioned shit hemorrhage. They'll make him crawl through the streets of Jerusalem on hands and knees in sackcloth and ashes just to get all the filthy woman nearness off of him. You know, and we think the Muslims are weirdos. It's the fundamentalism, you know.
Yeah.
The normal people among us are trapped in a war, a battle to the death between taste great and less filling.
Well, it's all bullshit, and then you die. That's the only thing written in stone that I've been able to figure out that makes a bit of sense.
Well, it does. It's just sad that it's that way. I mean, this is granted. You know, when the Constitution was written, since we all have to be originalists, like Fat Dead Tony. We have to discern the original intent of the framers. And there weren't that many public swimming pools in New York City. I dare say there weren't any. But you can't convince me, Scott, that that the framers, the authors of the First Amendment would have been well. Wait a minute, we're talking about slave owners, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, there is that, and there's a lot in the Bible about slaves being obedient to their masters.
And women didn't really amount to much in the grand scheme of things back then either, did they?
No, they were on the property list along with cattle and land.
And sheep, goats, even pigs, chickens. Yeah, it, pots, pans, wife. I mean, I wonder if Hasidic women get to, do they have to go to women? Do we have in Williamsburg, Brooklyn? Do we have women only polling places?
I don't know. You don't think that they would take things that far? Although, you never know with these people. They're just that crazy.
Well, they are that, Scott.
Religion will make you do some crazy-ass things.
Hey, kill people like crazy. Yeah, as Robert in Australia says, what's the old joke? Crucifixion, it's a terrible way to commit suicide. You can never hammer in the last nail.
Yeah.
And Robert also has another question regarding separate times for using swimming pools. Does the pool have to be completely drained and refilled just in case? I mean, how far does a civil society go to accommodate the bizarreness of these effing weirdos? And then your heart breaks because you remember that they're subjecting their children to it, and that generation after generation, and that it won't die out, this misogyny, this hatred. And then you realize not only is this why we can't have nice things, this is why the next generation can't have nice things, it's why the generation after that can't have nice things, because the fundies ye have always with ye.
Well, and it's not just that. It's the notion that, you know, whether, no matter which fundamentalist group it is, Judeo-Christian, Muslim, whatever, if that's all you know, and there's a built-in prejudice to exposing yourself to any information other than the officially sanctioned, as told by information from your rabbi or imam or a preacher, you know, that's what perpetuates the problem. The fact that people, unless and until they escape from the closed loop society, the system, they remain stuck for untold generations.
And no way out. And the next thing you know, it's a let's see, who did No Way Out? Was that Samuel Beckett or Pinter? But yeah,
you're there.
And you know, and consider how long this misogynistic hatred has been perpetrated without them ever having a clue. And that's sad, Scott. That's tragic.
Yeah. And looking at it as an outsider, you shake your head and you say, you know, how can these women buy into this system that's doing nothing but keeping them down? Well, if that's all they know, you know, fear will make you do stupid stuff. Fear is never a good motivator. Ignorance is never a good motivator.
And they are ignorantly afraid of their invisible friend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's maddening for those of us who have gotten out of it. You know, and I believe me, I can relate on a certain level to people who are caught up in it and don't know any better than to stay stuck. Believe me, the very fact that you have a thought that's in opposition to the rules and the strictures and things that you've been battered with for years and years and years, you know, just to have a thought that there might be some other way is a terrifying thing. And see, that's the insidious part of it. It's bad enough that you've got a so-called authority figures bearing down on you. But when the voices in your own head start doing their job, then, well, shit, it's no wonder that so few people get out of it alive and go on to thrive as well-rounded, balanced, intelligent, wonderful human beings.
It's just enlightening, isn't it? Not so much, huh?
Well, it is what it is, you know. I try to be as philosophical about it as I can. And what do you do about the crazy woman wandering target at the top of her lungs? What do you do about her? There's, you know, she obviously doesn't have friends or family interested in any type of intervention to get her help. I mean, she seriously needs help. You don't. There's nothing that makes it make sense that you're gonna bellow at the top of your fucking voice in a public marketplace about your invisible friend in the sky. There's no rationality behind that, and we've got these laws that say they have as much right to believe what they want to believe. You know, I guess maybe the way to go is to say, well, yeah, you're free to believe whatever the hell you want to believe, just don't do it here, or if you do it here, do it in a way that is not going to disturb the people who come here to do what Target is here for, and that is to shop and have a pleasant day out buying shit.
That was made in China.
Yeah.
By people chained to tables.
Yeah, well, that's...
Because free market.
That's a whole...
Oh, I know. It's
that's
no,
a
my,
whole other...
My only point in mentioning that, Scott, was to note that, you know, there's... This is an onion with a lot of layers.
Yeah, exactly. But the object of the exercise here is, how do we get the lady who's wandering the aisles of Target at the top of her lungs out of there without hurting her or hurting any of the shoppers, you know, as they make their way to the exit to carry this woman off for regrooving or whatever the hell has to happen to her to get her freaking head together, you know?
And then, I mean, so the upshot, Scott, is we just have to put up with this.
Well, we have to put up with it to the extent that we have to put up with it. But then
when some 19-year-old who is sick and tired of being told she deserves to be raped by a street preacher finally gets sick of it and whacks him in the head with a softball bat, we're gonna try her for felony assault.
Yeah, well, I'm a peaceful human being, but
well, I am too.
If this woman came to my Target, not too far from where I live, and started bellowing in the garden implement aisle, I would be hard-pressed to resist the temptation to pick up a goddamn shovel and address her with it. Just to shut her the fuck up. I mean, if the store management or the local authorities or whatever, or this woman's keepers, whoever the hell they are, can't do something to settle her ass down.
No, but see, that's why I say it's a First Amendment problem, Scott, because in this country we've got this notion that whoever does whatever they do, you know, as long as they're not Native Americans smoking dope or eating peyote or anything, under the guise of religion, is okay, and we just have to accommodate them. That's how you get the Westboro Baptist Church. That's how you get that asshole who walks around Arizona campuses with a sign that says you deserve to be raped. Because nothing can touch them. Incitement can't touch them. It will eventually prove our doom. Because there was an uneasy peace struck between religion and secular government that lasted for damn near 180 years. But the religion industry decided that it wanted to control everyone. And now it's all fallen apart.
Speaking of that, there was a book, and I wish I could remember the title, maybe about a year or 6 months ago, that gave a history of fundamentalism in this country. And you can probably Google around and get it. The notion was that it doesn't date back to our founding time in the 1700s. It's more recent, say the mid-1930s. Or thereabouts.
I know what you're talking about. And for those who, if you're familiar with Samantha Bee, she did a brilliant little takedown of the rise of the religious right in modernity, just in the last couple of weeks. And I mean brilliant, with a capital B.
The gist of this book was basically that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce utilized people like Billy Graham and Dr. Bill Bright and people of that ilk later on in the people in the 30s and also the 40s. But then in the age of Billy Graham and Bill Bright and the American evangelicals, they really co-opted them to do a reworking of religion in the American system as told by the U.S. fucking Chamber of Commerce. So if you can find the title of that book, that's the one I was talking about. But
yeah, I'm familiar with that. The Samantha Bee piece is worth seeing because she points out that it was not abortion that got the religion industry motivated, but in fact it was a Supreme Court decision that said that it was illegal for Christian schools to discriminate against students based upon the color of their skin, because the Christian schools had been founded specifically to evade the ruling in Brown versus Board of Education.
But we've always
had the problem because, you know, one of the ways that the framers and founders of this country knew that their dream was dead, and they did, you know, by July the 4th, 1826, when Adams and Jefferson died, they knew the revolution was well passed over. And that everything they had hoped for was done. And they knew this because of something that was happening to the country. The Enlightenment was the Enlightenment because people became enlightened enough to realize that letting religions run countries was a way toward madness. And by the beginning of the second third of the 19th century, you had the First Great Awakening, you had the Second Great Awakening, and these are all fundamentalist madnesses that sweep the country like a goddamn pandemic virus.
Well, I'll check that out, that bit by Samantha Bee, because she's very good. She's very insightful and gets the ideas across with good humor and good sarcasm, which is something I've always appreciated. But This leads me to bring up just another side issue to this overall conversation when it comes to social engineering and control and angry old guys in the sky. If you think back to the spring of 1968, what Dr. Martin Luther King was up to, he was up to something called the Poor People's Campaign.
Yep.
Where he was going to bring about a bringing together in Washington of poor blacks, poor whites, poor Hispanics, just poor people in general, who were under threat of being screwed continually unless something was done. And it was a way to dramatize the plight of the poor in America. You got to remember, this was close to 50 years ago. But in the midst of that, in the spring of 68, Dr. King was called to Memphis to support the sanitation workers who were striking down there, and
ta-da!
Later met his demise. Well, as a kid growing up on the outskirts of D.C. during that era, one of the first demonstrations, big ones, that I went to as a maybe a 14-year-old was the Poor People's March in June, I guess, of 68, and was inspired by the speeches. I was way too young to have gone to the 1963 March on Washington, but I made very sure that I made that Poor People's March in 68. And the thing between then and now that has gotten to me, the plight of the poor in America, the black poor, the white poor, the Hispanic poor, just the poor, is that even today, we're under threat of getting continually screwed over. And then you bring the religious element into it. The people will quote Jesus left, right, and center, you know, saying that the poor ye shall always have with you. Well, some people take that to mean there's nothing that we can do about it, so we may as well just keep on keeping on. Okay? But that's not what Jesus was up to. He was saying, as you do it to the least of these, you do it to me, which makes it inherent upon people who are supposed to be true believers to do something honorable and uplifting for the ones among us who are the most downtrodden. But is that what they're up to? Hell no. They're up to more of the same in terms of marginalizing the poor and marginalizing anybody who's different and condemning and bellowing at the top of their lungs in Target against real or imagined issues. You know, it's just the same old,
and using the IRS code to create tax-free organizations that provide free lawyers to Sister Clerk Kim Davis because she's a bigot.
Bingo. Bingo.
Exactly. Hey, Scott, it's always good talking to you. By the way, Sparky asked me to tell you that he watched the Ali movie, His Greatest Fight, on your recommendation.
Oh, great. I hope he enjoyed it. I thought it was quite good.
He did indeed. Scott, have a wonderful evening. And of course, as always, our best Punky.
Okay, Brother Bob, you take care, and hello to all the fun lovers and truth seekers out there in radio land.
All right. See you, Scott. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Scott in San Diego. Ron in the far refreezing north. I think I'd lose my cool. Ron notes, after mentioning Samantha Bee, that no one currently on the tube can hold a candle to John Oliver. Marr comes close occasionally, but he usually spoils it by letting you know that he knows how bright he is. His bitterness also comes through most of the time. John Oliver simply lets his amazement shine through unbridled. And I don't know, Ron, I heartily encourage you to check out some clips of Samantha Bee because, you know, she and John Oliver are both Daily Show alums, and they were part of what made that show its absolute best at the time it was at its, you know, absolute best. Her takedowns are epic. Let's run back over to the lines. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Okay, you're coming in a little faint over my phone, Bob.
Yeah, I know. That's because of the misbehaving mixer. Is that a little better?
A little bit. Anyway, this is Marty in Sacramento.
I kind of gathered as much. Good to talk to you.
As long as it's been since I've called, you're kidding. I'm impressed to remember people so easily. I could never do that. So anyway, may I vent a little?
Oh, do, please.
Hang on a second. I'm going to try something.
I think I just...
Still there?
Yeah, and I think I just made it a little better.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't know what the, I don't know what to think. I mean, you were saying about people going on your Facebook page and saying, get on board. It's like my reaction would have been, well, get on board what? What exactly am I getting on board? Something I didn't believe in for the first time earlier, because if I did, I would not have been a Sanders supporter. Is that what I'm supposed to be getting on board?
Why
do we have to get on board?
Am I getting bored with laughing about a guy getting raped to death with a sword?
Yeah, exactly.
Am I getting on board with voting for a war that was illegal in the first place against people that had done nothing to us that resulted in a million civilian deaths? Is that what I need to get on board with?
Am I getting on board with future wars that I don't exactly support for made up causes? The way virtually every war that's come about in the past? Yes, that sort of thing, yes. I guess I just have that funny thing with, you know, you're hearing about the, I was listening to Nicole Sandler's podcast earlier today, thanks to him being homesick.
Oh, sorry.
No worries, it's an injury more than sickness, but... You know, usually when you, of course, normally when you are on, I am at work, which is why I send lots of snarky emails.
Right.
Some of which actually get read. But it just feels like, you know, okay, the Democratic Party has decided, or the corporate wing of the Democratic Party. That's the whole party, by the way, or is that still just a subset of it?
I think the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party is apparently, of the party itself, I mean, Marty, when you have to factor in all the independent votes that Hillary probably won't get now, that Bernie got,
yes.
No, I actually think the genuinely progressive wing of the Democratic Party is pretty microscopic.
Probably.
I mean, I've stayed in the Democratic Party sometimes against my better judgment, but I've wanted to always, you know, because I don't think we advance things and make any things better. And this is where the disagreement came between me and the angry Indian last night, by saying, okay, we're going to spend the next 200 years trying to build a viable third party that will become the second party in a two-party system when one of the two parties finally collapses and goes away like the Whigs.
I don't think anything short of a you know, can you amend the Constitution to change the voting system? Will it actually go through, or are we talking about that most dangerous of things, a constitutional convention held brought to us all by our friends on Wall Street to rewrite the Constitution so that it's no longer recognizable than meets appears to meet everyone's needs, but really in reality it doesn't meet any's.
Well, I mean, there are some needs that are going to get met. I think
I didn't mean any of ours.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sorry if I implied that.
But no, there are some.
But yeah, you know, I just feel angry. It's like our queen has been anointed. Frankly, if I have to support a queen.
How many times did you go
to the UK and bring Queen Elizabeth II? I'll support her.
You know what? I had a little bit of that sense last night too, because when she gave her victory speech in which she, you know, anointed herself, she used the, well, let me see if I can get the transcript here real handy. Let's see. Just a second.
Well, while you're looking for that transcript, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Tell me if you agree. And maybe the chat room can tell me if they agree, but I'm not in the chat room. Did it seem like to me that the Clinton machine led by David Brock basically did to Bernie Sanders what he did to Anita Hill to get Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court?
Yeah, I mean, Tigers don't change their stripes. David Brock is still the same David Brock who gave us a little bit nutty and a little bit slutty. He just reserves it for people who...
I mean, it seemed like in every little pronouncement that came out from other people about Sanders, I kept hearing a little nutty, a little slutty, in whichever way you would refer to an older Jewish man.
I don't think. Hang on. I don't think.
Speak up! You are fading.
I know. I'm hitting the damn mixer for all I'm worth. but anyway. It's a filth machine, and they felt like they had to have a filth machine that would counter the filth machine that was first built in 1992 and has been added to and modified and built up until it's an absolute monstrosity. So they just had to.
On the other hand, further than 1992, but I'll agree.
No. They built it in 1992 specifically for the purpose of keeping Hillary Clinton from ever becoming president. I mean, that's been their stated goal. I mean, you know, I was running up and down the roads for a long time, and the only thing to listen to between noon and three was Rush Limbaugh. And the only thing he was, his sole purpose in life was predicting presidential campaigns of Hillary Clinton and screaming about how she had to be stopped.
The funny thing is, my conspiratorial mind would say something like, well, that's it. David Brock says he crossed over after his epiphany to get Hillary Clinton the nomination so she could lose. The Donald Trump of all people. The grand master plan. Brilliant.
Well, I hate to sound paranoid.
Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
Exactly. But, you know, do you remember how, and I mean, this is a verified fact. Before he ran, Donald Trump called Bill Clinton and said, do you think I should run? And Bill said, heck yeah, Don, I think you should run. That'd be great.
I remember.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you imagine Hillary Clinton beating Willard Romney?
No.
Can you imagine Hillary Clinton beating John Kasich? Because all the polls said she would lose big to John Kasich.
Can you imagine her wiping the floor with her?
Right. So the only person that she would have even a marginal chance of beating is basically the biggest cartoon character American politics has ever produced and nominated for the presidency, Donald Trump. She couldn't win. I mean, and it goes back to the legitimate analysis of her poll numbers when she was running for Senate. If she had a real, even when she had a pretty sketchy opponent for the Senate seat, her poll numbers never went up. They always went down, and at best, they stayed where they were. And she's already hemorrhaged poll numbers against Trump. At one point, a couple of weeks ago, falling actually 2 points behind him.
In the margin of error. Oh yeah.
And all he's going to do, now that Bernie no longer has to be worried about, He's already hung Crooked Hillary on her, and for a whole lot of millions of Americans, he's made that stick. And the email thing won't go away. The Inspector General's report that showed that she had been anything but truthful about it.
And then there's the Clinton Foundation.
And there's the Clinton Foundation and the this and the this and the this and the this and the this.
Mm-hmm.
Drip, 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 drip. And somebody is going to get hold of one of her Goldman Sachs speeches. And long about October, it's going to get released. And it's going to be of her talking to that gang of oligarchs and telling them that they shit ice cream. And the people, the independents and the real progressives who had just about talked themselves into voting for her are going to go, oh, fuck no.
I'm leaving that part of my ballot blank in November. So I feel for any, I will understand for you and anyone else who feels that they must absolutely at every bit, at every, at all costs, stop Trump. But I there are parts of, there are nagging parts of my brain that says, you know, maybe President Trump has to happen. I mean, it. I mean, is that? I mean, that has to be the bottom, the bottoming out of America. Now the question is, do we, the world that is, survive 4 years of the Donald until his ego gets?
I don't think he has.
I don't think he has to happen, Marty.
I don't think he has to happen, but I think there's a strong likelihood that he will happen. Because, we're talking about the American electorate here. I mean, do you remember 2000 looking at George W. Bush on the campaign trail going, no way, no freaking way, can't possibly happen. That man's an idiot. And then they stole... Al Gore ran a lousy campaign. He had terrible advisors. And it was just close enough to steal.
And you keep hearing. I mean, I still remember posts on Facebook from a friend who I don't follow anymore. She would put up all this stuff, and I damn near exploded on her. And I finally said, "Look, I have to unfollow her." And she's probably gonna. And she's probably posting more about how Bernie might have. You know, maybe it's part of the postmortem of Bernie. If Hillary loses, it's because Bernie stayed in so long.
Oh, that stuff's already being laid out there, which is part of the reason.
I know it's already laid out there, but you just want to say, if Hillary was so fragile a candidate, maybe you should have backed somebody else.
Or there's always the question, Marty. Does she not have any responsibility to earn the votes of progressives?
From whose point? Are we talking about from a third-party point of view, from our point of view, or from their point of view?
I guess I'm asking the Hilarians. Does she not have a responsibility to try to earn the votes of the progressives and independents who flocked to Bernie's side and could make this an easy election for her?
I think the Hilarians are saying Hillary is our candidate, and as you said, the person told you on Facebook, get on board. It is your duty to follow her.
Oh, I've been told to go to hell and not vote for her. We don't want your vote. We'll win without you. You misogynistic, racist. Sexist bastard.
Yeah, I've been called racist too, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm a black man. Are you really going to hang that on me? Sexist?
Oh well, no.
My voting career. Let's see, I voted for Jerry Brown's sister for governor. For some reason, when she ran for governor, I voted for Feinstein. Except for the last time she ran, I voted for Feinstein every election since she got in the Senate. For Boxer too, and would not have, if she were running this year, I wouldn't have voted for her, no way. But there's my ballot with Kamala Harris checked off for to take Boxer's seat. Yeah,
doesn't matter. She is the only female candidate who matters. If you do not vote for her, you are a sexist.
Yes, they'll get it. And I'm going to tell them to get over themselves. You don't want my vote? Fine. I'll just, like I said, I'll be leaving it blank. When you lose, don't come to me.
And that's it did not take
very long to understand. No, Al Gore's problem was not Ralph Nader. Al Gore's problem was Al Gore.
Well, when you consider what the margin was in Florida, and you look at the number of old Jewish people who voted for Pat Buchanan, and the number of registered Democrats who voted for W, no, Ralph really wasn't the problem.
And the number of people who were denied their right to vote thanks to committing crimes in the future.
Or how about the fact that...
The Minority Report.
Yeah, but how about the fact that that Gore couldn't carry Tennessee? And what's it going to mean when Hillary can't carry Arkansas?
Yes. Yeah, like I said, he was a rotten candidate. Let me rephrase that. I won't say he was a rotten candidate, but he did all the things that a loser does. Run a four campaign... Pick a poor running mate. I mean, Lieberman? Anyway.
Well, but I can't wait to see her VP pick.
Uh-huh.
Because...
Are we talking some... Yeah, now I'm...
Oh, it'll be some seriously cold political calculus. No, I don't think Elizabeth Warren is going to run with her, because Elizabeth Warren would lose every bit of credibility that she has.
That's Ben. I agree. And they may. I don't know who would be somebody who, like Dan Quayle, would have you hoping every day for Hillary Clinton's health.
There's
to make her impeachment proof.
No, there's a Hispanic man who is in the Obama administration. Is his name Castro?
Know him?
I've heard his name bandied about quite a bit. You know, the calculus will be who can help deliver an important swing state. So that would mean, hey, look, it's Sherrod Brown. Or a real shocker, somebody that could help, you know, given the fact that every city in Texas is blue, 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 maybe nominating a somewhat Democratic and at least nominally, you know, paren D, close paren, Texas Democrat.
Those exist. That's sarcastic. Sorry. And you say that again.
So, you know, I don't know. It won't be. And for everybody who keeps saying it, no, never in heaven or hell will she offer the vice presidency to Bernie Sanders.
And Bernie Sanders wouldn't take it even if it were offered.
One hopes that he would not.
I mean, because
then he would lose all of his credibility.
Credibility, yes, like Liz Warren. Now, it's going to be interesting when he returns to the Senate.
Oh, he's going to...
He's slandered by the Democratic machine.
Oh, if she loses, as I predict, he will be a pariah. But then again, he said he's not going to run again, so there's that.
Yeah. So. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to vent a little. I keep thinking my union, CWA, we're going to be on the Clinton enemies list, because we endorse Sanders by a lot.
Yep.
So. Anyway, Bob, I will let you go, and you can get on somebody else.
All right, thanks, Marty. It is a rare treat to hear from you somehow other than email, although I enjoy those too.
It's a pleasure to get a chance to just talk to you and hopefully we'll have to figure out some way to get you better equipment so that you don't fade in and out on phone calls.
We're working on it. This thing hasn't given me this problem in a couple of weeks, but I hate pounding on the mix desk. It can't be good for it.
No, it can't. Though it does get out the frustration.
Not nearly enough. Marty, I hope I hope your injury heals well.
Yeah, it's just I think it's just kind of a tweak, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, off to the ice.
All right. See you, Marty. Take care.
See you, Bob. All right, take care. Take care, everyone in the chat room.
All right. Bye. Among other things, Marty is our resident hardcore baseball fan, and I apologize. I'm having the devil's own Damn it. I don't know if I can stand it if another piece of equipment goes booger. But for some reason or another, the stress line box isn't cooperating. So I'm very, very sorry about that, Jim, in Louisiana, Stan. Wow. How cool. I've just now heard from somebody I have not heard from in ages, our buddy Harry in Finland. It's me, hopefully not your only Finnish listener, and I'm back to prove the hallelujah. I was off for a while with other things occupying me, plus for some reason the stream was awful, I mean intolerably bad, and I assume not your doing, but as those midgets dug the hamstring all the way here in the name of cost savings, it just could have been mighty nasty. This also makes me think, who said goof, I mean God, is in heaven? It's cold, no oxygen, stuff like that. Wouldn't it be more likely that God lives down under, in some well-ventilated tunnels and out of sight? It'd also provide closer access to corpses in case he has a real necrophiliac thing, as far as I can tell. Well, he does have that resurrection fetish. That was my thought, but it actually was inspired by a local podcaster on our public Monday radio called Yari Sarasvuo, which I'm probably doing no justice to the pronunciation of. Who knows, might listen to you too. Our thinkings are so similar. He re-enlightened me about some religious persecution he once faced as he spoke pretty straightforward what the Old Testament has stated. I had forgotten that my generation had already been taught into the New Testament, but, you know, fuck me. What he picked up was pretty much what I'm about to come to. Wrathful God, killing, raping, enslaving of thy neighbor. Those were straight pickings. Now, I just thought, this is probably pretty much what Bob says about the Southern religionauts. Trademark. And you could, yeah, that's beautiful. Just seem to connect. There are people like me who are completely flushed out from the religion because even the New Testament is BS as it is, who actually live by the Old Testament. I'd love to hear your comments on that. Oh, see, that's the problem, Harry. Most of the fundamental, the evangelicals in this country who profess to love Christ love the Old Testament ever so much more. They like their God wrathful. They like the idea of brimstone and fire raining down on cities because, you know, two guys picked out a China pattern. And this is, you know, this is... This is important because I really, really value the observations I get, we get here from overseas. Harry says, another thing, I've listened to a lot of U.S. election media, and Donald Trump is obviously a favorite topic, no matter conservative or liberal news agenda. Even our local media in Finland is pretty confused. This is what little I have on the subject of T-Rump. I think he's running a totally confusing and infusing campaign that isn't just a joke played on random dice. I think he seems to elect to tell every audience whatever they like to hear and make it even then some bit of a word salad. I noted the California preliminary primary talk. He said California doesn't have a drought problem. Then again, he said he's going to fix pretty much the same thing. That's planned strategy to get as many voters from every pool as possible. It's not random. They're good. But I have this recollection of listening to some clips that date back to maybe 2010, 2012, or probably even thereafter, where if you listen closely, he is non-presidential, and he sounds on most levels more like a moderate. What's that? You tell me. I know, moderate Democrat. I don't know. Should you even be afraid of Trump? He obviously says what serves him the best in the name of elections, and he lies out in the open. I don't disagree that his international politics might be a disaster, but I doubt his willingness or capability on the subject just like it's pretty far-fetched that he builds another wall of China on your southern border to Mexico. I mean, bad for the business. EPA and such regulatory things could go far into the right-lane ditch with the signal on, though. Again, love to hear what you summarize on this. So far, it's solid, Harry. If we want to get biblical, we can say that he's reminiscent of that line from St. Paul, where he says, "Lo, I was all things to all people." And I don't like being paranoid because it makes my head hurt. And I don't like believing in conspiracies because, well, it makes my head hurt. And I have no desire for this to turn into the Rents program because I don't want to have to interview, you know, Alex Jones. But there's something of his candidacy that smacks of a con job. I feel like we're being led toward the sign. We're all being led past the sign that says this way to the egress. And I'm of the considered opinion that in order to power is what he loves, however he can get it. And if that meant destroying the social safety net in order to have the acquiescence of a Republican majority in the House and the Senate, in a minute. And in his world, there's only one purpose for the use of public monies, and that is for the advancement of the billionaire class. Harry says, "Bob, you have a great voice, and in the numerous badly slept nights, it's been a real blessing. Dr. Bill has been a big enlightenment, and I'm a huge lover of historical depth in the analysis. My kudos." Well, it's really good. It's really good to hear from you, Harry. It's been too long indeed. And welcome back to the chat room. By the way, Mighty Mouse in the chat room kicked in to help out with the fundraising. So that takes us to $50 to go. Then another contribution for the equipment fund, which I think we're going to have to start building on again. Thank you very kindly. And Jay Cruzen says his offer is open until filled. The problem is, I don't know that it will ever be filled. If you can't come up with a reason to vote for, I mean, the entire purpose of Hillary's campaign is Hillary. And if that's not enough for you, it's to stop Trump. And if the Supreme Court doesn't do it for you, and Michael and Madison's Kobayashi Maru answer doesn't, i.e., at least by electing her, we'll never have to deal with another Clinton for at least until Chelsea's old enough to run, I think we're kind of stuck. And that means we're never going to collect on that challenge. So we've got $50 to go to finish fundraising for the night. Labor man in the chat room just said, "Jay Cruz, and she makes great cookies. Send the money." I don't think that one's been refuted. So much for prayer meeting Wednesday. I can now defrock myself. Oh, go get frocked. And, Harry, I'm sorry about the poor quality of the audio. I don't know what's causing that. Maybe it'll get better at some point. But thanks, everybody. Thanks for your participation. Thanks for joining in the conversation. Thanks for help keeping me sane. I hope I help you do the same. Like I said, all we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it. So back tomorrow with Thorn in the Side Thursday. No program on Friday because I'll be out. So tomorrow, remember, tomorrow, and Sparky, please throw out the breadcrumb trail and put up the bob signal. Tomorrow will be a Thorn in the Front Porch Thursday. Okay? And that'll be big fun. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody.